Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening to the travelers on the rivers and the seas. Good evening to those mountain men and women hunting the wildebeest up there someplace. Good evening to the farmers and the ranchers. Good evening to the sheep herders herding their fucking sheep. It is Monday, January the 23rd, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc, right around 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, here in Utah. Beautiful Utah. Yeah, it's Monday, and so far so good. I was able to take a walk today. You say, Dan, why is taking a walk a big deal? Well, it was a little over a month ago that I slipped on some black ice and broke my left humerus. And you'd say, that's funny, left humerus, but it wasn't. It was a pretty clean break. I spent about two weeks with, about 2.5 weeks with my left arm kind of roughly wrapped up by the ER. But it was still kind of dangling there. Two parts of my humerus would rub up against each other. Sometimes they would click-clack. It didn't feel very good. And yesterday, when I walked outside and looked outside the door, I saw piles of ice and snow. I said to myself, I cannot go forth. It's just too fucking dangerous. But I am using my left hand to play the keyboard, and I am doing physical therapy, and it is getting better. I got surgery about 2 weeks ago. I mean, excuse me, almost 3 weeks ago. And the surgery seems to be doing pretty well. I mean, I can't tell you for certain if I'm on schedule to be fully recovered in a month or two. But it does feel like that's going to happen. It also feels like the whole thing is a birthday cake that falls on the ground. And so even if you go through the process of making another cake, it's kind of hard to understand the purpose of it. And you could say, well, Dan, just there's stuff in life and things happen to people. I know, I've received Hallmark cards. I understand there is adversity and I've been pretty lucky. In my 52 years on planet Bo Blimp Doc, almost 53, I've only ever broken a bone another time, and it was when I was 17. And it wasn't even much of a break, you know, it was high school football. And I fractured my wrist. And as far as, you know, going to the hospital, the only other time I ended up going to the hospital was this last year, and it's still a mystery as to what happened. I'm still kind of befuddled. I don't know what to tell you. The last 12 months have been interesting. The last 4 or 5 months have been pretty weird, and it's difficult for me to put it into a bottle and say, this is why. This is the purpose. I can't tell you what the purpose of a birthday cake falling on the ground. I can't tell you the purpose of a beautiful vase shattering on the floor. I can't tell you the purpose of a burned-out middle-aged hobo crying in the darkness, wanting help. But it is what it is, you know. I don't know. It was about a decade ago that my sister Nancy died of cancer. And it was pretty bad. If you've ever had somebody die of stage 4 cancer in front of you, it's not pretty. And it's, you know, thankfully it doesn't usually last more than a few weeks. But maybe a couple months. And it is a blessing if a person can lose consciousness in that time because it's painful. And it reaches a point probably where no amount of pain medication, to include fentanyl, can do anything but just kill you sooner. And so, like I said, I can't really complain. Is there some trauma baked into that incident from a month ago? Yeah. I'd be a liar if I said there wasn't. I look back and I wonder why I wasn't in more pain at the time. And I think it was because I was in shock. But I did get off the ground and I did walk home. And I did carry my left arm with my right arm. And I did surgery for the first time 3 weeks ago. And I'm still here. I don't know what to tell you about birthday cakes that fall on the ground. I don't know what to say about car accidents. I don't know what to say about things that break and then we have to fix them or spend time repairing them. The only thing I can tell you is that this is the life we have. It's not perfect. It's not Eden. As I've said before, on Planet Bo Blimp Talk, shit happens. People get sick. People die. Governments lie, wars occur, bombs are dropped, orphans are created. You know, I had a woman once, not too long ago. Her name was Betsy. Betsy had hooker crabs and Skleeg fever. Her boovula vibrated to the sound of Metallica and gold coins hitting the tabletop. She'd whisper the world in your ear and then complain about the mutton soup. And her breath was like a stray dog's. I couldn't keep Betsy. She had the wanderlust. She needed action. She needed more excitement. She said I was boring. She said I was old. She said I was merely a chunk of grimy mold. Goodbye, Betsy. I had this woman. She was mean and never shaved her legs. She pressed skunk grease against her cheeks to make herself look younger. And she would beg me for my protein soup so as to enhance her jugs. She worked the street and found great solace in any stranger's arms. She gave me crabs and herpes and black syphilis, and I had to flee to the eastern provinces to escape her pimp husband. But I loved her. I loved her. I spent nights dreaming of her, dreaming of our walks along the street, dreaming of old Shimbley's, the bar we would go to, dreaming of her favorite drink, a champagne cocktail. We would get drunk. We would make love. There was this girl I knew when the summers were long and the winter ran for cover. She wore soft pastel dresses and waltzed with the green grass as she ran through the meadow. Her hair was red and her face was freckled. And we spent so many nights chasing time and running from despair. She left me for a jarhead named Cliff. And I never knew what happened. But we had that summer, didn't we, baby? And I would never forget your fire crotch. I spent time traveling on rockets. Yes, I did. I spent time traveling on rockets and taking my starship to the edge of the solar system. I met marauders and space pirates armed with laser swords and covered in swamp paint. And then there was her. She was the queen of the asteroids. She mined and harvested ancient wax. She made her living along the Kuiper Belt. Her condo was on Pluto, and she didn't care that it wasn't a planet. Because every man orbited her and her booty. We fell in love fast, like a black hole, swallowing a rogue comet, and then she broke my fucking heart. Yeah, she broke my heart. She kicked me to the curb before the fourth Lort War began. And I was left wanting before the space throng. Outer space sucks, baby. There was this chick from L.A. She was a model and an artist and an actor. Her hair was brown and her skin ivory white. And when she walked down the street, the whole world stood still. She had men all over. But she always made you feel special, baby. And I never feared for the clap or the gonorrhea. I broke her heart. by living fast, by doing crack, selling bling along the boulevard of starlight. She cried out for me, and my wretched self left her. She screamed out my name, and I ran away. I did not know she was going to be my wife if I'd been smart. I did not know that she would have been my lifetime lover if I'd been a little bit wiser. I did not know that we would have raised a family and our children would have ruled the wasteland. Live and learn. While I was biding my time near the old valley, I met a girl named Lola. She carried a sack filled with onions and spoke softly to the chickens. She would spend the spring days wandering the fields, scantily clad, with her female scent wafting about. She was my forest lover, my sky bride, and we held ancient sexual rituals in the barn when the sun went down. She broke my spirit like she was breaking a new horse. And after this was done, she fell in love with the baker's wife and fled to a lesbian commune in Quebec. Goodbye, lesbian lover. Goodbye. After many lovers, I found Rhonda. I was dealing cards in Vegas at the Royal Palms Hotel. Rhonda was a cigarette girl and a stripper and the holy representative of blind chance. We would drive out into the desert at night and drink vodka and shout at the stars. And many of these nights ended in torrid and fiery lovemaking. She needed space, is what she told me. And I told her to see Elon Musk. So she fled to New York and moved in with a street performer, a dude named Len. He'd paint himself purple. He'd pretend to be a lamppost. I was alone again. I was alone again, staring at walls, imagining a kingdom of regret. Somewhere near Detroit, I miss Rhonda. I don't know what she's up to these days. I was with this woman. I was with this woman from Dallas for a few years. She hunted whale ape. Out on the high plains, she never rested. She never took a break. She snorted cocaine and got into bar fights and was never afraid of a Saturday night melee. I got her pregnant, and then she sold our baby to a Mexican drug lord in Juarez. It was a mad sickness that kept me near her, and when the fever broke, I was empty and bankrupt and wandering Phoenix with a loaf of bread under my arm and blood pouring from my anus. While working as a seaman on the trade routes from India, I met a woman named Prakna. That's right. She had jet black hair and olive skin. Her bodice was like a fine bottle of wine. And I drank of her juices. Yes, I drank of her juices as often as I could. We would wander Calcutta in search of slow-time concubines, seeking the obliteration of self in the dirty corners of a broken land. She would call me her tiger master. And I would call her my monkey queen. After several months, she drowned in the Ganges, and her body was never found. They say she'd been involved with Bitcoin. Take a little drink here. This reminiscing's hard on me. I knew an escort named Trixie. She worked the high-rises on the Gold Coast in Chicago. I was recovering from splingus surgery, and she watched over me, my sexy angel of mercy. Our first Christmas together, we took a trip to Peru. We took a trip to those Andes Mountains. We took some DMT. We took some ayahuasca. We communicated with ancient alien spirits. We bathed in Incan pools and nakedly played in the excited way we could. But Trixie ran off with a medicine man. Trixie ran off with a medicine man. And she left me in the jungle, barely alive, barely breathing, barely capable of making it home. Trixie left me. Who could have seen it? Not me. Patrice was a waitress that I met in Florida. Her family owned a gator farm not far from Orlando. She would spend her weekends there, harvesting gator, in that hot, humid, sweaty, in her Daisy Duke cutoffs and a torn t-shirt. We would take the airboat out to the Everglades, and there we would make love in the night as the cotton owl screeched and turtle cat slept and the various kinds of python circled our boat. I woke up one day and she was gone. No note, no nothing. I loved her. I imagine she must have gone missing in the swamps, being chased by shirtless men through a swampy situation. So horrible, so greasy. A gal I knew near Memphis took me by surprise. That's right, a gal I knew near Memphis, Tennessee took me by surprise. You'd look in her eyes and see a baby born. She was blonde and hot and busty and naughty. She worked as a kindergarten teacher, but she was all smoke and silk come evening time. We rode Harleys on the weekend and made love in the train yard after the sun went down. She told me I didn't care about her cat, and I said, "What cat?" And she slapped me. She left me for a florist. She left me for a florist. She left me for a dude that delivers flowers. There were so many flinks and cherries, so many sop wives and angel dust Virginias. I spent my time wandering the lost sectors of Yulon looking for the ultimate woman, a woman of steel and fire and lace, a woman of claws and fury, a woman who can hunt down the wild deer naked as her boobs bounce about. I spent time in the jungles of Nefor and found a hidden lake where milk maidens washed their privates and caressed their tits. I sought after that gentle hand that would nag me incessantly to take out the fucking garbage. But after crossing 12 seas and 40 rivers, I found the girl of my dreams, Vortica. Her name was Vortica. Vortica watched over me for what was left of my life. As I grew older, she ensured that my codpiece and armor were well oiled as she oiled her boobs. I would hunt castor apes, and she would make me gunset stew. After spending many hours being chased by Wapsit clowns, Vortica would be there in our bed, engundulating herself, preparing her boobula for my meat rod. As I grew very old, Vortica would drain my boils and wash my togger wounds. She would rub in diesel fuel and broken glass and sawdust and metal shavings. And I would shake and shiver in her arms as the fever took over. There were only mold cats now, and other scum rot from the new biome. And all the old furry creatures, baby, they were all gone. We have no bacteria inside our gut flora. It's all mold now, and our diet is weird. Yes, all the old furry creatures were gone, and we wept before a brown and gray world, but, and this is the critical part, I had this woman once, and I was in love. You ever been in love, baby? You ever found that hot, sweaty love on a Friday night? You ever spend time at a bar looking for a one-night stand, but instead you found a broken heart waiting to happen? Yeah, that's the story of love right there. You know, the story of my many loves, my lovers, of whatnot. As I'm going to sort of do now these days with the podcast, is I'm going to go over what's on the front page of Zero Hedge. Why? Because why the fuck not? Not going to go to the New York Times. Not going to go to the... Yeah, not going to go to the New York Times, not going to go to the Wall Street Journal, not going to go to the WAPO or the Economist or any other fucking journal or newspaper, not going to Drudge. This is my last stop, McGee. Zero Hedge is far from perfect, but it's the best source of bullshit out there. So, and that's its own kind of jaded compliment in 2023. Kudos to my left hand for working as well as it's working tonight. I don't know what to tell you. So these are headlines from Zero Hedge, January the 23rd, 2023, just around 7:30 p.m. Headline, George Soros urged the use of Eastern European soldiers to reduce the risk of body bags for NATO countries in New World Order article. Soros called for Eastern Europeans to essentially be used as cannon fodder armed with NATO weapons. A prescient prediction given how the war in the Ukraine has developed. Next headline from Zero Hedge. Top FBI Russiagate official arrested for colluding with Russian oligarch. Former colleagues were shocked at his arrest. Oh my God. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about Russiagate bullshit, folks. It seems like another kind of drama that has no actual resolution. So its real purpose is just to piss off a bunch of you. It's kind of like the reset. The reset's never going to happen. None of that shit's ever going to happen. But it certainly keeps a lot of you motherfuckers busy thinking about it, doesn't it? Yeah. Next headline from Zero Hedge. M&M's ends woke spokes candies after pushback replacing them with actress Maya Rudolph. In the last year, we've made some changes to our beloved spokes candies. We weren't sure if anyone would even notice, huh? I don't even know why you're doing that trauma bullshit. Isn't it bad enough that your candy's killing people? Next headline from Zero Hedge. Pentagon planning GOP House Speaker McCarthy visit to Taiwan this spring. China-U.S. relations will witness another shock comparable to or even worse. Oh my God. Oh my God, war with China. World War III with China. Fighting China. In Taiwan. Fighting General Chang and his Ching Chong armies. Oh my God, that's racist. But it's okay to kill them. That's right, it's okay to kill them. You can't be racist, but it's perfectly okay to set them on fire or to discuss nuclear war with China or to do any number of other things, really. In fact, you can use a bunch of Chinese people to build railroads, but don't you dare be racist, fucker. Next headline from Zero Hedge. Supreme Court's failure to identify Dobbs leaker is chilling, Jonathan Turley warns. Danger will only grow. Someone felt they had license to speak. Some others may now feel that they have the impunity to do so. Oh my God, leakers at the Supreme Court. Ask an old fucking burned out anarchist if he gives a fuck. I don't. Next headline from Zero Hedge. Blank check, question mark. Democrats want to totally eliminate debt ceiling with new bill. What could possibly go wrong, right? Can I have a $1 trillion coin? Can I have $1 trillion? I remember 10 years ago, Timothy Geithner, I think, was at the Treasury. And there was that talk of the $1 trillion coin. And it's a lot of bullshit. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors bullshit. There's a lot of debt. It's not just the 30-odd trillion federal debt. It's the unfunded liabilities. It's trillions in consumer debt. It's derivatives that a lot of people will try to convince you, oh, derivatives are not a problem. Believe me. Derivatives is a circle of people all pointing revolvers at each other. You know, in fact, specifically, credit default swaps is a circle of people all pointing revolvers at each other, promising not to pull the trigger, or at least somebody says it'll never happen because there's super stability. But that's bullshit. Folks, there's so much debt out there, it will never, ever, ever be repaid. Ever. It won't happen. If we discover a few planets we can fly to at faster than the speed of light, even then, that debt will never be repaid. So it's just a question of how it gets defaulted on. You know, you can do a kind of managed default, and I think that's what a jubilee would look like. Or you can do an uncontrolled default. And that's kind of like what printing money does. And it looks like whatever we're going to do, it's going to involve printing money. So don't expect a soft landing. Don't expect anything pretty. And if you think the worst thing you're going to face this year is that eggs are more expensive, good luck with that, motherfucker. Good luck believing their bullshit. Yeah, it's going to be worse. Next headline from Zero Hedge, Ron Paul hammers debt ceiling hysteria and hypocrisy. It should be clear that the irresponsible ones are those who think the government should increase its credit limit without cutting spending. I don't know what Ron Paul is, brothers and sisters. But for all of his commentary, for all of his Sturm und Drang, for all of his being there in the mix of it, I can't see that anything is changing or ever will. You know, I think Ron Paul, the nicest thing I can say is he believes in the libertarian diet theory of government, that you can take the giant crocodile with all the tumors and the drunkenness and the addictions, and you can put the crocodile on a diet, and it can lose weight, and it can get fit, and just take care of murderers and thieves and rapists and stuff like that. That's the Ron Paul theory. It's never going to happen. The only way this government ever gets smaller is through collapse. And I suppose the good news is collapse isn't that far away. I mean, I gotta tell you, the tyrannical bullshit gets crazier, angrier, nastier, right up until the moment the system falls apart. I know there are lots of people that like Ron Paul, and I used to look upon him in a different way too when I was a libertarian. And then when he joined the Republican Party, I kind of thought, okay, I guess he's trying to infiltrate from the inside. But I'm through with that. I'm through with the voting your way to freedom. It's never going to work. The only thing you can do is recognize that you were born free. You were born free. You were born free into this world, and nobody can either give it or take it away. It's all up to you, baby. Next headline from Zero Hedge. Geopolitical week ahead. Germany's leopard tank dilemma. Warnings of global catastrophe. Oh my God. You know, the last time German tanks were in the Ukraine was not a good time in world history. So that's what I would say about that. But I'm still of the opinion that the Ukraine, whatever it is mostly bullshit. I have no solid evidence from anyone I trust that anything going on there is real. It's a lot like the stories from Australia in 2021. I would compare those stories to people that actually knew people there. And there would be one version, the kind of the first-hand version, and then there would be the version you got in the news, which was scary and dramatic. Oh my God, Dan, they're shutting everything down. They're putting people in camps. They're sending people to Christmas Island. It sounds nice, but it's not. Next headline from Zero Hedge front page. Biden administration still pushing for forced masking. What the fuck? Listen, you know, if you want to wear a coffee filter on your face or wear two coffee filters or like a dozen coffee filters, I at this point I don't give a fuck. If that seems like a wise and intelligent decision to you, you go right ahead and you wear your fucking coffee filter. Okay, I think the reason why people will go along with this nonsense isn't because there's any real way for the government to enforce this. They'll go along with this nonsense because they are too scared to ask the question, what the fuck are they hiding? Because all I know is we don't know what the thing is yet. We have all of these substitutes, these lesser catastrophes, these apparent problems that were pretty much manufactured by the federal government to include not just the monkey herpes COVID, but also the race war, that's Antifa, that's BLM, that's all the Trump trauma drama bullshit. All I know is we still don't know what the real deal is. We don't. I don't know, you don't know. But it's a good fucking question. Why the fuck would the governments of the world conduct full-scale military psychological warfare, the trauma-based kind, against billions of people for 3 fucking years? If you can answer that fucking question, then you can try to figure out what the fuck they're hiding. It still could be the collapse of the dollar. That's the best case scenario. But as this bullshit lasts longer, I suspect it's worse. Next headline from Zero Hedge. California city gives up on 100% renewable plan. The Huntington Beach City Council voted to dump its plan for 100% renewable energy. Well, I've mentioned this documentary before, and I'll mention it again. Planet of the Humans. I can't say I agree with all their conclusions, but if you want a good documentary that digs into a lot of the bullshit of the green economy and the Green New Deal and a lot of this renewable stuff, I'd say Planet of the Humans is pretty good there. Yeah, I don't see much of a future in any of the renewable strategies, but if you want to believe there's a future there, that's up to you. Next headline from Zero Hedge. FBI's most wanted woman, known as Crypto Queen, sends signal after 5 years of hiding. It suggests she's still alive. And there are documents. Oh my God, Ruja Ignatova. She's very dangerous. She's a crypto queen. She's sailing the seas looking for trouble. She's a crypto queen. She's on a pirate ship somewhere in the Indian Ocean with 15 lovers. Yeah, it's funny, a lot of these crypto situations, the one thing it seems like might be true is there could be a boom in the business of faking deaths right now. Like, I figure probably the entry cost to fake your death, to do it effectively, it's probably close to $1 million. You know, it's kind of like that show Breaking Bad. You know, this is the last season where they're getting ready to call the vacuum cleaner repairman. And, you know, the amount of money that guy needed to make you disappear, it wasn't cheap. And I guess that's the entry level. Probably, you know, a really good job probably takes $5-10 million. But if you steal a few billion or a few hundred million, then maybe $5 million to disappear ain't too much. Next headline from Zero Hedge, Iran claims Panama oil tanker cancellations were politically motivated. Iran has dismissed the significance of Panama's deflagging of more than 100 tankers allegedly used by Iran to ship oil abroad in violation of U.S. sanctions. Holy shit, wow. Oh my God, a sovereign country wants to sell its resources, shit. You know, the Iran thing reminds me of the traveling Clinton roadshow. You know, it's never resolved. I was 9 years old when this nonsense started, and it has never been resolved. It will never be resolved. Okay, we're not going to invade Iran. We're not going to force a new government on them. And we may want to starve them out of existence, but it doesn't look like that's going to work either. It would be great if we had people who are rational and could recognize this, but it doesn't look like we do. So here we are. Oh, Dan, you like Iran. I don't give a fuck about Iran. I don't give a fuck about Iran. What's going on in Iran is not our fucking business. If you want to talk about human rights abuses, take care of your shit here in the United States of America first. You got a shitload of human rights abuses right here at home. There's work you can do right here. Don't worry about Iran or Russia or Belarus, Russia or some other country on the edge of nowhere. If you're worried about the rights of people, specifically about human liberty, work on that right here, brother, sister. Don't give a fuck about Iran. Next headline from Zero Hedge, labor hoarding, a new theory emerges to explain the lack of labor market collapse, the lack of labor market collapse. Why lay off your workers now if you expect real difficulty in hiring them back if building starts to pick back up, particularly for non-residential construction? I don't know. I don't think they're telling us the truth about unemployment. I don't even know that they're telling us the truth about labor participation. So if you want to figure out what the unemployment rate is, I'd go to shadowstats.com. A few years ago, the guy that runs that site estimated it was around 20 to 25% unemployment. My guess is if we calculated unemployment correctly, it would be close to 30% right now, maybe higher. And I think it's going to be a lot higher, but it's you're not going to know. They're not going to tell you. We're in the end game. Everything here until collapse, in my opinion, is going to be bullshit. And I think Janet Yellen a few years ago, when she said there'd never be another recession in her lifetime, I think she inadvertently told the truth in a way. They will never admit to another recession. They'll never admit that what they've been doing doesn't work. And all of it will be pretend. All the plates will spin. All the bells and whistles of this three-ring circus will continue until the end. And when it hits, it's not going to be graceful. It's not going to be a soft landing. We aren't going to ease in or ease off on the joystick and glide in for a soft touchdown on some Caribbean island. No, it's going to be like having your F-15 going Mach 2 and flying straight into a mountain. It's going to be like your Pontiac GTO at 100 miles per hour hitting a brick wall. It's going to be like having a howitzer fired at your fucking face. It's going to be like Mike Tyson looks at you in the eyes, curls up his fingers, and punches you in the fucking face. Next headline from Zero Hedge. This is a premium article. Mike Wilson triples down on doom and gloom, but is more bullish than most in 2024 on coming boom. Good luck with that, Mike. Next headline from Zero Hedge. U.S. natural gas prices soar after Freeport completed repairs of damaged terminal, aims for partial restart. Shipping natural gas overseas. That makes sense. Next headline from Zero Hedge, 2023:4th turning meets mass formation psychosis. We still have an enormous percentage of the population trapped in mass formation psychosis trance, unable or unwilling to regain their common sense and ability to comprehend they have been duped, used, lied to, and sacrificed at the altar of the Great Reset. The problem with this is this guy mentions the Great Reset like it's a real thing, and it's mindfuckery. So this article is mindfuckery pretending not to be mindfuckery. There's a lot of that on Zero Hedge these days. A lot of that. And the last headline from Zero Hedge, Ken Griffin overtakes greatest trade ever with record $16 billion profit for clients in 2022. Good job, Ken. It's almost as if controlling a massive $60 billion-plus hedge fund on one side and today's most important market-making operation on the other is a license to print money. Oh, good job, Ken Griffin. And these are the front page headlines from Zero Hedge. You can go to ZeroHedge.com and read more on your own. I don't have to tell you. Before I close out this podcast, I just want to say that if you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, if you've taken care of your rent, if you've taken care of the people you love and care about, if you've put together enough resources to give yourself food and water for 6 to 12 months, and that includes your pets, that includes your dog, if you're going to think about yourself and your kids, and you have a dog or cat you love or some other pet, please think about them too. I'm not saying you have to. I mean, I know there's the argument, Dan, people count and animals don't. But, you know, let's just talk about dogs. These dogs that you feed, they may become helpful, dare I say, extremely useful in the not too distant future. And I don't mean to eat them. I mean as guard dogs. I mean as dogs that can be your companion, as dogs that will protect you. I mean that dogs that can go hunting with you. So when I say this, understand that at least when it comes to dogs, and to some extent when it comes to cats, they serve a purpose. The cats keep the rodents away. The cats will keep people away from your stockpile of rice, or not people, but the cats will keep the rats away from your rice and whatnot. So these dogs and cats serve a purpose, even if you don't really care about them, and my guess is you do. But if you've taken care of all that, and your hookers and your cocaine and everything else you need to get by, and you still have a few shekels, a few ounces of gold left over, there'll be a link to PayPal where you can donate to me. You don't have to, but it's deeply appreciated. Yeah, if you want to donate, you can. You're not obligated to. I have been trying to push through my pain, what pain I have, and discomfort, and I have been playing the keyboard both for podcasting and for practicing purposes. For practicing, preparation, whatever, training purposes. And it acts as a pretty good physical therapy for my left arm. It keeps those neuron impulses going. But I can't tell you these are my best podcasts. I can't say that my mind is completely tuned in. I have good days and bad days, especially since the accident happened. And like I said, it's not the worst thing to happen to a person. I mean, it amounted to slipping, falling, breaking my humerus in half, luckily not having any bones stick out, spending 5 to 10 minutes on that sidewalk, you know, basically screaming for help, and then getting up and walking home. I was about 1/4 mile from home. And I'm surprised, you know, looking back, I wasn't in more pain. In retrospect, like I think I've said, I must have been in shock. But at home, I had a couple friends. I knew I had a couple friends. I knew I had people that cared. And I'm just going to say this to all you out there tonight, if you can listen, beyond the whole me begging for money. I'm going to leave you with this thought. There are a lot of people out there, especially right now, who may have reached a point of helplessness and who've said to themselves, this is as much as I can do. This is as many breaths as I can take. This is as far as I can travel and I can go no further. And I understand. I'm not going to beat up on you. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'd be the last person to do that. When I was sitting on that sidewalk 1 month ago, After I got done trying to get some help, I thought about just falling asleep. It was, what, 3 degrees outside? I was probably in shock. I know enough about hypothermia and shock that as a combo plate, if you just fall asleep, probably you're dead in 10 minutes. And I am not proud that I thought this way. I don't think it's cool that I thought this way. I can understand it, given my own frustrations, but I'm not defending it. But if a middle-aged burnout like me could come up with the reasons to get off the sidewalk and walk home, cupping my left hand and my right hand as it dangled there, my left arm and my right hand as it dangled there, then I bet a lot of you who are having a bad time can do the same. No, it's not easy. No, the prices don't look good at the grocery store. And no, a lot of the crazy chaos turmoil is probably not over. But it's not the end of the world. And in the craziest times, the most dangerous times, the times of magic and disaster, there's possibility. In the times of stress and storm, waves and lightning, thunder that crashes, there is the adventure of life, and in many ways, maybe the greatest adventure. So, yeah, you might be out there tonight thinking that life is pretty shitty, and yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it's cruddy, maybe it's shitty, and I'll still say, do what I did. Get up off the sidewalk, because chances are you have people at home that care about you. Chances are there are people out there that love you. There are probably people out there that love you and you don't even know they love you. So don't give up. And have a great rest of your Monday evening.